Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of a podcast named Tim, a father and son movie review podcast, available everywhere podcasts are. Please leave a rating and review on your platform of choice. As always, we are available for interactions on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We do have a YouTube channel where we have Power Ranger reviews, Mando reviews, and figuring out some other stuff. If there's things you'd like to see on the channel, please let us know, again, on our social media. We have a website, podcastnamedtim.com. And on today's episode, we are going to be doing holidays, kind of Thanksgiving, holidays general. It's going to be Into the Dark, the episode, or movie Pilgrim. It's going to be the Lego Star Wars holiday special. And Jingle Jangle, A Christmas Story. So some very new things that have just come out. And hopefully you have seen them, because we will be discussing spoilers. I am Zach. Dad, how are you today, good sir?
Meh. No, I am fantastic, of course.
You seem to be very meh recently, just because I messaged you. My Mando, we record on Sundays. My Mando review is coming out tomorrow for the recent episode. And you said meh. I thought it was a good episode with some interesting things.
Maybe I need to rewatch it. I mean, that wasn't bad. It just, I guess I don't know. I'm gonna have to go back and watch it. I don't know. I didn't get anything from it. I like the return of the characters that we got. I don't know. And then, of course, now there's all this hoo-ha about it. It had its Game of Thrones moments. I guess that's what we're calling it now.
What's that?
Instead of jumping the shark, we now have Game of Thrones moments. Well, you know, the Game of Thrones, of course, is when they left the Starbucks cup on the table.
Okay.
And nobody caught it. Well, apparently, there's a crew member, you can see.
Things happen, man.
Quite clearly, it's I didn't catch it on it when I watched it. So, but merely a half hour after I had it, started hitting the internet, and now I've actually seen the still of it. And there's a worker with his t-shirt and jeans on, kind of off to the side behind Carl Weathers, the director of the episode. So I'm hoping he doesn't get a bunch of flack from it.
Well, look, I mean, we had a lot of cute Baby Yoda, we had a lot of good action, and we got some interesting story beats. I don't know what else you would want.
I guess I missed something.
Okay, let's talk about the lab. And I don't look, if you want to hear my full thoughts, you can also look at me on YouTube. Podcast named Tim. What did you think of, because I was talking about that to you, like the lab was kind of the big thing that intrigued me.
Well, I guess they're using because he said we're out of M, so I'm assuming that meant the chloride.
Midichlorians, yeah.
So, and I'm assuming that they're getting those from their child, that's what they're trying to use Yoda for. But I didn't understand what you were trying to get at. What are they trying to grow?
There's three options, and all Snoke. One is Snoke. Here's what I like about that, though. If that's the way we're gonna go, here's what I like. It means the end of the series has to end on a bad note, and it means we have to hate the Emperor that much more. Because if we build up this cute little Baby Yoda, and his destruction is what leads to the Emperor, that's a heel move, baby. That's a heel move if I ever did see one.
All right, so yeah. I have to get more into all that background stuff. Because I wasn't thinking. I don't think about the whole Star Wars universe realm when I'm watching.
The only reason I say that might be the option is the people who are working there, and I only know this because I follow people and they educate me as well, but the suits that the lab people are wearing have the Kamino symbol on it. The people who worked at Kamino, those kind of scientists, which they did cloning, of course. So that's one option. A second option that someone brought up is, and I thought was interesting, is maybe, so maybe it's super, he's trying to make some kind of super soldiers. Okay, that's cool. But the third one that I think is also very interesting is maybe Moff Gideon, who has a lightsaber, maybe he's trying to infuse himself with the Force, and he's trying to figure out how to do that through the blood, which that's not how the Force works, obviously, but he doesn't know that. And so maybe he's trying to become Force sensitive because, you know, there's a power vacuum in the Empire now, and he probably knew about Vader and the Emperor. And if I got a lightsaber and I get this Force blood, I can be the next, you know, big king and be the next Emperor. And so maybe that, and it made me think, maybe because, you know, with storytelling, the big key is you want your villain and your hero to be the same, but different. They go through the same things, but they react to them differently. And if Mandalorian lost his family because of an incident during the Clone Wars, maybe Moff Gideon, who I'm guessing is about the same age, maybe the Jedi did something on his planet, and that it had repercussions. They actually did an episode on this during the Clone Wars where the Jedi went to save some people, blew up some stuff because they didn't care because they were saving the universe. And then these two kids who grew up hated the Jedi because they were like, you blew up our house and our mom died and now we hate you. So maybe the Jedi did something and he's gonna take their power and use it for quote unquote his version of good.
All right. Well, I guess time will tell.
I said in my review, I think when the series is done, we're going to look back on this episode as like a very definitive moment for the trajectory of where the show is going.
Okay. Well, I'll probably rewatch it here in a little while.
So that's my thoughts. Anything else you've been watching?
But now it's tainted. So that's all anyone's talking about is the man.
I hadn't even seen that. So,
wow. I can't believe with all that you pay attention to that you haven't seen that.
I only look at positives, man.
Ah,
positive world. What else did you watch this week?
Well, first, I forgot to mention something last week.
Okay.
The wife and I finally broke down and watched Cats because it's free on HBO.
Okay.
Cats. The worst piece of garbage I have ever seen.
What?
Wife hated it. We both love musicals. So I don't want to hear no crap that I'm one of guys that like musicals. Nope. I love musicals. It was just horrendous.
Did you ever watch because I know they put VHSs out back in the day of the Cats production.
I did not. Okay. So I'm not even one of those kind of people that are saying it's, you know, I haven't seen it on, I didn't see it in Broadway. I haven't seen any versions of Cats. I am familiar with the background story and some of the music. So I have that. So I was kind of going into it, you know, first viewing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That was hard to watch.
Your opinion seems to be the what most people have said about that.
Yeah, well, I went back and read, you know, thinking, I thought, you know, it might get some 5 out of 10. So, no, I couldn't hardly find anything above a 1 out of 10 on IMDb. People just really hated this. It was bad. It really was. It was creepy. It was weird. It was just, I don't know. Not
the music
sure.
Good?
No, the music was terrible, which I mean, they did do, of course, Memories. I do believe there was some original. I think Sondheim wrote some originals for this. The music was creepy. It wasn't Broadway sounding. It wasn't pleasant. It wasn't uplifting. And, you know, it just was, I don't know. It was horrendous. But anyway. That's all I'm gonna say about that.
Okay.
Your grandma had watched it a few weeks before that, and she hated it as well. She didn't get it. So, what else have I watched? Continuing with The Undoing, and still liking that. It's pretty weird. I'm watching, I think your buddy knows, I'm watching Fargo, the fourth season. This is not my favorite season. Matter of fact, I have two episodes left, and I actually started something else, which I normally don't do. I usually finish something and then start a new one to binge. And I actually started back on My Crown. I'm watching the new season of The Crown instead of finishing Fargo, which I'm going to finish it. It just, it doesn't have the same feeling as the other episodes of Fargo, which were a mystery, but wrapped in some really just some bizarre storytelling. This thing's pretty cut and dry, and it's kind of boring.
Okay.
I don't really care about it one way or another.
Like the movie.
Watched the movie last night. The Impossible. It was about one of the families in the 2004 tsunami that hit Thailand. Excellent movie. Definitely one of those ones that at the end you are just worn out. You've had all the emotional moments that you could deal with, but it was excellently done. I see. I had totally never heard of that movie. Naomi Watts was even nominated for an Academy Award for her portrayal in it, which I see why. It was fantastic. Ewan McGregor was good. And it was the screen debut of Tom Holland.
Oh, okay.
Young kid. And he was fantastic. So, and then just normal stuff. We've just been watching, starting to dip our toe in the holiday stuff a little bit. Not quite yet. We haven't gotten into the full,
you know,
you have to watch every year.
We are in full swing in this household. Watching a lot of, I've already watched Santa Claus, Home Alone, Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
So I've watched all new ones so far. Okay. I haven't watched any of the staples yet.
Okay. I did watch the brand new Kevin Hart special on Netflix, Zero Fucks Given.
Saw that. Gonna probably check that out this week.
It was good. It was good. Not his best. Good. It's interesting. It's definitely an evolution of him, and you can see he's kind of, a lot of it is railing against what happens when you become a celebrity.
Oh, geez.
It talks about, of course, he talks about, as he calls it, the vid, which apparently he had.
Oh, really?
He said, I'll give away one little bit. He said he had it at around the same time Tom Hanks had it. And so he didn't make an announcement because Tom Hanks is much more famous than he is.
It's surprising how many people are coming out now that have had it, gone through it, not mentioned it. But
yeah. So him and his wife both had it. He said he was pretty much fine, but his wife had the whole taste thing and everything. But he said, yeah, he didn't come out because Tom Hanks is a much bigger celebrity than he was.
Yeah, I wouldn't go up against Tom Hanks. So, you know.
So
interesting.
But yeah,
I've been doing podcasts. I've been listening to a bunch of podcasts.
Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah. I am going to be watching tonight. We record again on Sundays. I'm going to be watching Survivor Series. So the first wrestling I've watched in months. I have no clue what's going on. I'm just going to dive right in. There's also a 2-hour long Broken Skull Ranch with The Undertaker and Austin again. So going to watch that. And The Undertaker was on Hot Ones. So just going to get my wrestling Undertaker, fill here just enough to get me to the Royal Rumble. That's kind of my plan now. I'm just going to pop in for the Big Four for now.
That's probably all you need to.
Yeah. Yeah, just going to pop in for the Big Four, maybe Money in the Bank as well, because they've kind of made that on the same tier. But probably 5 pay-per-views a year, that's probably what I'll tune in for.
I see Eric Bischoff is saying that the wrestling as we know it is about to change.
For the better? For worse?
Well, he's not saying better or worse, he's just saying with the growing move toward unionization, the wrestling world is going to just be totally different. We're not going to recognize it.
So, I would imagine that'll probably be a big change. Something that the body and the mind has been fighting for a few decades.
I just have a feeling, though, it's going to fall in the category of be careful what you wish for.
I agree. But I think part of the issue is that Vince has for so long made them contractors and not employees.
Right.
And I think they're at a point where I think they're ready to be employees, because they're like, yeah, we're contractors, but you run our lives and you won't let us do other things and you're not giving us health benefits. So yes. I think this might have been Vince's own doing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I think he should have done some health benefits. And I think if he had done that, he could have locked this other stuff down. But yeah, right down to the fact that, you know, they can't even have a TikTok account or Twitch. That's what I was thinking of. That's really none of your business if I'm a contract player. It's really not your business if I'm an employee either, I don't think. As long as I don't say something or do something that's, you know, not beneficial to the company. You know, I can't go on a social media and completely rip my company apart and expect to keep my job. But I don't think that's your business.
Well.
Anyway.
Yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much all I've been watching and getting through from a certain point of view, Empire Strikes Back. I got about 8 hours left. So that should be hopefully here the beginning of December for my review on the YouTube channel.
Oh, you're talking about the stories.
The book review. Yeah. And it's been good. But it's been good. There's been a couple that have been, look, when you got 40 of them, there's going to be some bad ones and some good ones. But we'll get into that at the review. But let's go ahead and do this, man. Let's hop into Pilgrim first. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick moment to pause and hear a word from our sponsor. Pilgrim came out in, I believe, 2019. It is, again, part of the Into the Dark, I guess, series, if that's what I would call it. If you've never seen Into the Dark, it's a Hulu original. I think like once a month they do like a little mini movie, kind of like a Tales from the Crypt level movie. It's a scary movie of the month. We recently, a couple months ago, reviewed Pooka Lives, which we both really enjoyed. And so this was your selection for the week. It is, of course, Thanksgiving themed. Basically, a woman in kind of a suburbia invites some reenactors, some Thanksgiving reenactors, to have a Thanksgiving dinner with her family. The idea, of course, being that they want to connect together as a family again and learn what it's all about and learn some history and just kind of bond together. And things don't really go as planned. It is, this was your selection, but I will let you, it does have a, let's see, runtime of 80 minutes, I believe, 80 to 90 minutes, and 5.7 on IMDb, no Rotten Tomatoes score, because again, it's a TV show technically. But what did you think of Pilgrim?
Didn't quite hit it. It's a great idea. I thought it was very clever. Mm-hmm. Which, reading the synopsis of most of the Into the Dark things, they sound really cool. It's just execution. Pooka, I loved. I thought Pooka was well done. It was fun. It was different. This one, it took too long to get there. And when it got there, it just didn't. It missed. I just kept waiting for it to do something really cool. And it had some elements that I really liked. I don't know if it was poorly written, poorly directed. I'm not sure where it went off the rails, but I was at the end of it, I was just kind of eh.
So I understand what you mean, and I think I know what it is. It did take a long time to get to where it needed to go. Way too long. But I think I will say this, the positives. I thought Ethan and Patience, the two main reenactors, I thought they did a great job of selling you know, what they were doing. They were creepy. I thought Ethan was a very interesting cult leader, I guess is what we want to call him. So I thought they did a really good job. I think the biggest issue with this movie is it has a high threshold for buy-in to get you into the universe, because the mom in this movie is like, we always talk about white people in scary movies being dumb, and she's like the Super Saiyan of white people because this whole idea and the fact that they couldn't pick up on any of this, to me, it took me out of the movie.
Yeah.
Because it was just unbelievable in that respect. Like, you're going to let this guy stay at your house, be in your kid's bedroom, take your kid out to berry picking, and all the other over-the-top elements of it. It just, I was like, like you said, the idea is there, and it's really cool, but it's just like, no one would do this. This is too much for me to absorb and believe.
Well, that's where they wasted all their time. They wasted too much of the movie making you really hate this woman, or not just really want her to get her comeuppance, and they didn't need that long. I didn't like her from the beginning.
Right.
So, you know, they needed to cut about a half hour of that build off and put a half hour more on the sadistic pilgrims and a little more torment from them. Love the shed. The shed was hilarious that they raised a shed up at the pool. That was great.
I would have liked more in there.
Why you? It was great, but. Yeah.
I would have liked more in the shed. I wanted to know more about the shed and what was in there. And I would have liked more background on Ethan.
Well, and we did Puka Lives. Maybe there'll be a Pilgrim Lives. Maybe we'll have a new, I don't think he's going to survive that, but maybe there's a son he had that's going to come back to get revenge for what happened to his Pilgrim dad. Yeah, I don't know. The thought was there. Clever, very clever. And the only reason I picked it is because of I saw the poster and I was like, okay, it's Thanksgiving.
Yeah, good poster.
Yeah, but I was disappointed.
I did not see the cannibal aspect coming. So that threw me off a little bit. Not in a bad way or a good way. I didn't see that coming. I didn't think that fit in some respects with what I didn't really quite understand. Like, were they trying to convert them? Do they convert some of these family members to join their family, or?
Well, see, that should have been, maybe that could have been an avenue that it went down, that it didn't go down. That's an interesting, would have been an interesting idea.
I thought that's what they were going to do when the mom with the drug issues, when they gave her something to drink, I thought that was going to be the begin of, I thought she was going to show up and be one of the reenactors and, you know, be part of their thing and be zombified. And, you know, that's where I thought that was going, not killing her.
Yeah. See, that might've been a better ending. You know, have a clip of the following year with them showing up with him at someone's house, a neighbor that knew them or something. Yeah. It definitely had some clever ideas, and I'm not sure at what point it went wrong.
But. I really like that crane shot. I think it was with when they were dunking her in the water and the way that they shot that, and that was really well shot. It took its time, and you know, I don't. I also they kind of tried to they tried to explain something away in the movie, but it also, in trying to explain what was going on, I think they shouldn't have touched on it, because I think it made you as an audience member be like, oh yeah, that doesn't make any sense. And that was when the girl, what was her name? Cody, when she was with her boyfriend guy and they were looking online, she's like, I can't find this this person, these group anywhere. She said she found them online. How did she find these people? Because I can't find their website or whatever. And they were like, oh, well, they wouldn't have a website. But then she pointed out that the mom said she found them online. So it was like, it was weird. They were trying to cover up some of their stuff and explain it. But then it made me think, well, yeah, then where did she find them?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it'd have been better if they had found her instead of them finding. Maybe they stalk families and see dysfunctional families and work their way into them.
Yeah,
but yeah, there's it needed a redo, a rework.
Yeah, it was. I gave it like a 5 out of 10. I think it's average because the concept is there. It's just a little plotting and needed more. I did not know the gentleman who directed this has some notable directing credits in the horror film area. And I think you have seen some of his movies. He wrote The Collector.
Yeah, that's all.
And
that.
The Collection, which I had never seen. I'm trying to see what his other directing credits are to see what else we got here. He directed it too. He directed The Collector and The Collection. So I have not seen The Collector, but I think you liked that if I recall correctly.
I did.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, well, they all can't be gems.
They can't all be Puka Lives. Which I think I saw Puka and Puka Lives and another one. I forgot what the other one was called, were kind of the highlights of the Into the Dark. They were the ones that people were really, so maybe we got the best of the best from the first one.
Yeah. Again, not terrible, but you can skip it if you want to.
It ain't no Thanksgiving.
No, definitely not.
Well, all right, we'll go ahead and slide on to my movie, the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special. Yes, you heard that correct. They have revived something that George Lucas said should never exist and has burned every copy of to do a Lego version of it, although very different. It's, of course, G rating, 44-minute runtime, a Disney Plus exclusive, 6.6 on IMDb, a 71 on the tomato meter, a 72 from the audience, and much different than the other holiday special, but it's an actual narrative. Rey is leaving her friends on Life Day to go on an adventure, and she ends up getting some kind of crystal that travels through time and space, and we do a little memberberry tour, and we get to see all of the little different bits of Star Wars, and they all kind of collide. And what did you think of the Star Wars Lego Holiday Special?
Because it was Legos.
Yes.
It was very entertaining. I enjoyed it. Yeah, if this had been something else, oh my Lord, it would have been a mess and it would have been horrible, and I could not have forgiven them for things they had done. But it's Lego, so you knew it was going to be silly. Mm-hmm. I highly enjoyed it. I found out the day after that the wife had also watched it with the grandkids. It was a day that I wasn't there with the grandkids. I was taking care of other things and watched. She saw that I was watching it, so she put it on at the same time. And I said, really, what'd you think? She said, oh, it was so boring. I said, no, it was not boring. How did you call it boring? It was flashing all over the place. And I said, actually, it was kind of confusing at times. They were flipping around so fast. But I was highly amused by it. It wasn't what I was expecting, but yeah. It was good.
Yeah, so it was good. I liked how self-deprecating it was about all of Star Wars. I busted out laughing several times in this. I think the one I laughed the most was when Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon Jinn were sitting in the room, you know, the scene from The Phantom Menace, and Obi-Wan goes, trade routes, this is so boring. And I just like, yep. So I appreciate that they were able to, you know, poke a little fun at themselves. And I watched a Star Wars Explained. He's kind of the big YouTube guy I follow for Star Wars. So I think most people do. He, of course, he did a little video on this and said, you know, he said, I know it's coming. all the questions of, is this canon? What is this is canon? And he said, here's how to treat Lego Star Wars. The big concepts and plot points are probably canon. He's like, but the rest of it's just fun and you should treat it as such. But what I thought was interesting, this kind of confirmed Finn is so force sensitive and being trained by Rey.
Right.
So I was like, oh, okay. I guess we're going to do that for reals. I appreciated that Chewbacca's family was present. Happy to see Mala and Lumpy and whatever his dad's name is. Wish they would have got a little bit more screen time.
Right.
And I kind of wish, I understand why they did like an actual narrative, but I wish they would have had some more callbacks and a little bit more of the structure of the original holiday special.
Right.
Just for a little wink and a nod to everybody. I would have liked a little bit more of that. That's my only big complaint.
The thing that I would have done, and I'm not saying it would work, but I thought it would have been a little nod to the original. I would have made the Mandalorian part cartoon.
That's a good idea.
Just because. But we got our Boba Fett. You know, that way I thought the Mandalorian, the little version they did of it, the little nod to it would have been kind of clever had they made it animated like the horrendous animation of Boba Fett was in the original. But, you know, other than that, it was entertaining. It was fun.
We needed one musical break. Like just one quick little musical or even just an attempt at it and someone being like, we're not doing that. Just something. We needed one little musical section.
I think the three versions of Obi-Wan should have done something. They should have sang a Christmas song or something fun like that. Yeah.
They could have sung the Life Day song.
There you go.
The original. But yeah, I did think it was interesting to see who came back to voice themselves and who did not.
You know what? I didn't even pay attention to that.
So Billy Dee Williams came back to voice Lando. Anthony Daniels came back to voice C-3PO. And Kelly Marie Tran came back to voice Rose.
Okay.
All the other ones? No, that ain't them. I did think it was a very good Rey impression, though. I thought that was a good...
Yeah, she sounded like Rey.
Yeah. But yeah, everyone else, they didn't. I guess they said, no, we done. We're not doing this. I do want, and I mean this in all seriousness, I want, and they probably will never do it because I think Daisy and what's his name? The guy who plays Finn. Finn and I think the two of them have both said they're pretty burnt out and kind of done with Star Wars. I haven't heard anything about Mr. Dameron.
I don't think you'll see Finn again.
Yeah, I think he's done. Yeah. But I would really, really, really like to see the three of them do like an actual holiday special, like live action, and just make it bad.
Oh, no, I don't want that. That's not
I kind of want that.
No, that would be horrible. I mean, I know that's your point, but no, I don't want that. I'd like a side Star Wars story with them.
Okay.
Do something. Let's see where it goes. Let's get his training done or let's get something. But no, you're not going to see. I don't think Daisy Ridley and like I said, Finn, whoever that the guy that plays Finn, I can't
remember his name.
I don't think I could say it either. But no, they're done.
For now, until, you know, 40 years later when they want to make the next.
I don't know. He seems a little wacko.
John Boyega.
Boyega, that's it.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was all right.
It was fun. It was 44 minutes, man. I'd watch it again. And again, I just appreciate the deprecating humor of it.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, glad we got to watch that. But let's move on to our main feature. I don't know if it still is, but last week when we watched it, it was trending number one and number two on Netflix in the world, so everyone was watching it. Jingle Jangle, A Christmas Story, rated PG, 2 hour and 2 minute runtime, a 6.6 on IMDb, a 93 on the tomato meter. So it is most definitely certified fresh, and an 80 from the audience. It tells the story of a toy maker who's very eccentric, who loses some things in his life and kind of stops believing in the magic and has to re-believe in order to, find the Christmas magic. Forrest Whitaker, Keegan-Michael Key, who else is in this? Ricky Martin, Hugh Bonneville, Nakia Noe Rose, and Madeline Mills, I think, are the young ladies, well, the ladies. And that was the film. What did you think of our second Netflix original we've done? We did Christmas Chronicles last year. Does Jingle Jangle hold up?
I'm looking right now. It is holding at number 10 on Netflix. So okay. Personally, I loved it. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It was Christmas. It had great music, some great singers. The two women singers were fantastic. Forrest Whitaker could even hold a little bit of a tune. It wasn't the worst thing I've ever heard. The story was interesting. I fell for the characters, loved the sets. It was lighthearted. It was had a nice ending, had a little, some good triumphs in there. I didn't see anything wrong with it.
Yes, I thought it was great. Everything you said, ditto down the row. Just great music, great sets, great characters, a unique concept. And some really cool visual effects with when they went to some of the more animated stuff. Mm-hmm. As always, there's one thing you have to do in every Christmas movie. If you don't do this in a Christmas movie, it ain't worth its salt. If you don't cry, it ain't a Christmas movie, because it's got to get you in the feels. And as always, I cried a little bit, so you know.
Where do you cry at a Christmas vacation?
Well, when he gets his enrollment in the Joey the Month Club.
I thought you were going to say when he was watching the home movies up in the attic, but all right.
No, actually, I think I have cried in that scene before. just a great, great movie. I think it's better than Christmas Chronicles.
I'm not going to say it. I mean, probably. Yeah, if you think about it. I mean, I don't know. I might have to watch Christmas Chronicles again before I give you that one, but I definitely enjoyed it at least as much.
Yes. 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 I'm just excited because this tells me that Netflix might have a little secret sauce over there. They seem to know Christmas two in a row. I think we got Christmas Chronicles 2 next year. So maybe once a year we will get a very good Christmas movie from Netflix, which I will always appreciate. Like adding more to that holiday Rolodex. And the only thing that did tick me out of the movie a little bit was when Journey went to go visit her grandfather for the first time. I didn't understand why the mom didn't go with her. I mean, I understand it was, they weren't ready to reconcile, but just from a functional, how real people travel perspective, I didn't.
The same thing. She's like, why is she not going?
Yeah. I did not understand that.
I knew it was necessary for the feel good moment later, but I thought he treated her a little too crappy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, all right, dude, relax. It's your granddaughter.
Yeah.
There's more to bad guy.
Yeah. I thought, you know what? I thought, Key did a great job with his song.
Yeah.
And yeah, I could use a little bit more of him. I liked his little arc, and especially at the end when he realized that he had made a mistake.
I didn't like that.
No?
No, because I would have liked for that to be used for a sequel.
Oh no, man! He was redeemed.
I didn't need him redeemed. We got the grandfather being redeemed. We got him getting his soul back and turning back into a pleasant person, and the reconciliation to the family. That was all the redeeming I need. The bad guy, I think, should have stayed the bad guy.
No, man. It's Christmas. I need all the good, all the positivity, man. All the positivity. did you have a favorite song?
Now, that I'll definitely have to pick out on a second viewing, because they're all kind of in together right now. I don't have them. I haven't watched it but once, so I don't have that yet.
I would say there are two contenders. The first one that Forest Whitaker did, I couldn't tell you all the things behind it, but that one, and then the big, which I would assume was the big oomph one that you were supposed to kind of get behind, where Journey was singing about being the impossible is possible in me and everything. Both of those excellent. And I don't even remember when I cried in this movie, but yeah, you know, I had to.
I didn't get to cry. I didn't get close to that.
Family stuff, father, daughters, you know, just.
Oh, yeah. No. All right. I wasn't that sensitive to this one. My wife cried when she realized that Ricky Martin was just going to be voice only.
Yeah, what did you think of that? The idea of the evil toy who wanted to be one of a kind. I thought that was great.
It was fantastic. It was pivotal. Let's have him. He'll need a standalone 30-minute Christmas special.
I support this fully.
This was
good. It's, you know, what's crazy is, and I know we're in the COVID and everything, and Netflix is its own thing, but I would have been fascinated to see how this would have done in movie theaters. Because I think this would have made some money.
Do you?
Yeah, man. And maybe it's hard to tell, but I don't think there were a lot of kids' movies that I know of that were slated for this year, and a lot of Christmas movies that I'm aware of. I mean, you get Christmas and, you know, this might have been a big one.
Now, was it supposed to be in the theaters?
I don't think so. I think this is always originally just from if it would have had a different path, it would have been interesting to see how it would have done there. Because I think this would have made people a lot of money.
Well, I would hope so, but I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. People are kind of weird about their Christmas movies.
Yeah, I asked my mom about this because she watched some of it. I got to ask her again. I said, she said she didn't like it. And I said, what was it? And she said she didn't like that it kept jumping from animated to real, like that they were off. And even my wife, who liked the movie, she said that it kind of didn't give off like a Christmas vibe. She's like, I don't know if it's really a Christmas movie. And I was like, what? I was like, it's about family and being and believing. And I was like, what else you need?
Well,
seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing.
You know, Christians think that everything has to have a nativity scene to be a Christmas movie, and it does not. Mm-hmm. It can just, like you said, have a nice, warm feeling.
It's about nice family. Music.
And that's what Christmas is really about.
I should say this is not the writer and director. This is not his first crack at the apple.
No, he did Christmas Tale. Now, what is it called?
He did Almost Christmas.
Almost Christmas, that's it, yeah.
He wrote and directed that. And I have not seen that, so I cannot comment one way or the other on that. But he's found his little vein, and he's going to stick in it.
Nothing wrong with that.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. But, yeah, I just thought a fun little Christmas movie. I will watch this again. For sure.
Absolutely. I'm going to watch it again this holiday, actually.
I might as well. I don't know if I want to cry again, but, you know.
I want to hear the music again. I want to get a little more into the music in here, and actually, so I know what they're, so I can know what they're, what it's called and what the lyrics are. I don't know all that yet. I just know that when it came on, the very first one that started doing the, I was watching it with the grandkids, and both of them immediately were pulled into it and up dancing and enjoying it. So I was like, well, there you go. See, that's Christmas right there.
If they happy, we happy.
That's right.
Okay.
2 hours of peace.
Until someone got clotheslined or something.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds good to me. Well, let's put a bow on this episode and go ahead and hop.
Yeah, we haven't discussed next week.
That's what I'm saying. Let's get to next week.
All right.
Next week we're gonna take a little pause from the holidays before we go full force into it. We still have no clue what we're going to be covering, but the 90s, we are going to do the 90s. We did the 80s last week. We're going to go jump forward 10 years or so. Our main feature is going to be Jurassic Park, which, of course, Mr. Steven Spielberg's big film of that decade. You said you were rattling around trying to figure out what to pick. What did you settle on?
It was very rough because I have always said the 80s were my favorite movies. I could be wrong.
90s were great.
The 90s, wow. I was like, oh, Goodfellas and Casino. I mean, I was just everything I turned to. But I was like, I was, every time I picked one, I was like, no, we've seen that. I don't want one that we've seen over and over again and then we can do the lines and we know everything about it. I want
yes.
to delve into something different. And something that even if I've seen, I haven't seen since the day I saw it back in the 90s. And I also thought I knew what you were picking. So, which I'm sure I'm wrong, but I really thought that you were going to pick out one of your favorites that we've seen. But, you know, you never know. So anyway, I picked The Edge.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
The Edge. Well, there you go. Probably going to have to rent it. I can't find it free anywhere. But after I made my decision, I was not going to go back for $4.
Okay. that is fine. So here's what I was originally going to pick.
Yeah.
And I was like, 90s. What's 90s? I said, there's only one thing that this is not what I landed on. I said, there's only one thing that truly defines the 90s. There's nothing more 90s than the Chicago Bulls. And I was like, Space Jam is kind of the ultimate 90s movie because it's got Michael Jordan in it. And Michael Jordan was the 90s. But we're going to save that for when Space Jam 2 comes out. So that's on the back burner. What did you think I was going to pick? Because I didn't pick something that you... I didn't pick what you think I was going to pick. I can tell you right now.
I really thought you were going to end up picking like Shawshank Redemption.
No. No, although that is no, because I don't want to cry. Damn it.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
I'm sick of that. No, I went with a movie that I have never seen before. I don't know how many times you've seen it. I know you have. There's this director guy who kind of made a big deal in the 90s and he kind of changed how movies were made and how people perceived movies. And he has a little more of a hidden gem on his IMDb page in some respects compared to his other ones. We're going to be watching Jackie Brown by Mr. Quentin Tarantino. I thought about Natural Born Killers.
I actually thought you'd do Reservoir Dogs.
I wanted to pick the one I hadn't seen. I've never seen Jackie Brown. So it's one of the only Quentin Tarantino movies I've never seen. So I was going back and forth between Natural Born Killers and Jackie Brown. And I was like, if I'm going to watch a Quentin Tarantino movie, I need him to have directed it.
Right.
So we're going to do Jackie Brown.
Although Oliver Stone is very 90s too. So that would.
That's true. So that's kind of, those were the ones I was kind of circling around. But so.
I actually watched Jackie Brown about 2 months ago. That's kind of funny. You? I did. Yes. Out of the blue, I decided to put it on.
Because if I remember correctly, I know you've seen it, but I didn't think you had seen it that many times.
And this was only my second full viewing.
Yeah. So yeah, well, little QT, little Q, got a half M. So, what was it? We have Jurassic Park, Jackie Brown, and The Edge. That sounds like the '90s to me. I thought about The Matrix as well.
The '90s would have been Clueless, Men in Black,
and Space Jam.
No, that is not iconic.
Michael Jordan is the '90s. Period.
No. I mean, love Michael Jordan, but sports fine, but not movie wise. I don't know. I'm sure there's a better Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction, Men in Black, and Clueless, I think, would have been the ultimate 90s selection of difference. But
well, yeah. Having any of the Will Smith movies of that era. I mean, you could have been Bad Boys or Independence Day or any of that.
Speaking of Will Smith, I watched the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air's reunion.
Yes. Yeah, how was it?
You're going to cry.
I ain't going to watch it.
There was a couple of parts that Amy bawled, and it got me choked up. Of course, when they were dealing with James Avery, yep. And when they were dealing with the surprise guest, it was a little bit, it was good, though.
Why don't he want me, man? Why don't he love me, man? Great episode. Actually, speaking of that show, I don't know if I've ever told you this. So, you know, Allison, my wife, her master's degree was in like sociology and yada yada. She actually did a paper in grad school where she like completely watched all of the Fresh Prince and like talked about the family dynamics and just what it said about the family and everything. And just she did a whole, I don't remember how long the paper, long ass paper on really? The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Yeah.
Well, you know, his life got flipped upside down.
Yeah, that's what happened, man.
I like the background story of how it kind of that he tells about how it kind of came to be with Quincy Jones and all, how that was kind of it was just kind of forced on him. This was not a let me be a TV star. This was kind of like, oh, you're going to do this and here's how we're going to do it.
Interesting.
I didn't know that, and it was it was a good little reunion.
Speaking of that, I remembered. I was thinking about this the other day, and I don't remember. I was thinking about our YouTube channel and just the podcast as a whole, and kind of the adventure we're on. And I thinking back to my college days. I don't know if I ever told you this. Do you know what the first three projects I did in college were?
Let's see. Hating your roommates.
Well, schoolwork. Schoolwork.
I don't know.
So, my first semester, whenever you go to college, it's always, you know, you have your introductory classes, and it's like, make sure you can write, make sure you can do public speaking, yada, yada, the basic stuff. And so the first paper I wrote in college, they said, write, I don't remember what it was, 3 pages or whatever, something stupid. And they said, just write about something. And I was like, I can write about anything? Like, yeah, write about anything.
This sounds very familiar.
I said, I can write about anything? I was like, they're like, yeah. I was like, okay, well, to test the limits of what I was allowed to get away with, I wrote about Star Wars for my very first college paper. And then I had my public speaking class. They said, talk about whatever you want to talk about. You got to talk for this many minutes, and you kind of have to do these things. I was like, okay. So the first two speaking projects I had, I talked about Ric Flair. And my second one, I talked about Power Rangers. And then, so those are my first three assignments that I turned in for college. And fast forwarding, later in college, I had a class called Christianity and Science. And it was about their relationships through the years. And I convinced my teacher, professor, I convinced them to let me do a paper on Planet of the Apes. And I basically did kind of a movie review and some other things on that. And then I also did another paper in my morality politics class about the history of the comic book trials. I just think it's interesting that you know, I was going for a certain degree, obviously, but every time I kept going back to when I had some leeway, it was always to the same kind of entertainment realm, the same shit we're talking about now. So right. just interesting. It dawned on me that was kind of always what I always crept back into.
Uh-huh. Well, anyway.
Just thought it was interesting.
You and you alone. No, yes. It was interesting.
Okay. Well, I'm excited for the 90s. Maybe, perhaps, if we are ready and if you are willing, maybe we will record jointly in person on Black Friday. If you have nothing going on.
Well, I ain't going to be shopping.
Hell no.
So, yeah, we'll have to see what happens.
I make no promises.
Does her little procedure on Wednesday, where I met on that.
Yeah, I don't know where I'm going to be movie-wise. I will attempt to be ready by that point, just in case. I just know
ready for Christmas that day.
Yeah, yeah. Then that might be. I know that I have the day free. Let's put it that way.
Ah.
So, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe we can do that.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Okay. So, we will see what happens. We'll see you all here on our next podcast named Tim. Anything you want to say before we shut this one down?
Your grandmother's watching Better Call Saul right now.
Okay. I still haven't watched Breaking Bad, so you know.
I know. I'm letting you know that your 77, 76-year-old grandmother has watched Breaking Bad and is now watching Better Call Saul, and you have not.
I've watched an episode.
So, that told me.
Yeah. All right, that's fine, because I'm going to go watch more Power Rangers.
All right, you do that. I'm going to go watch the
Yeah, we'll see you all next time on a podcast named Tim.